KYLL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Thursday, April 20th. Coming up, we'll learn more about Midwest gardeners breaking bans on planting milkweed to help monarch butterflies reproduce. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. After nearly 6 weeks of testimony, the federal bribery trial of four former Commonwealth Edison executives and lobbyists is coming to a close. Dave McKinney reports.
Testimony concluded yesterday for the group accused of conspiring to bribe former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan to advance ComEd's legislative agenda. Closing arguments are likely on Monday, with the politically charged case going to jurors afterward. Defendant Jay Doherty called the trial's last witness. Monsignor Kenneth Velo, a longtime aide to former Cardinal Joseph Bernardin, vouched for Doherty's integrity. Notably, former ComEd lobbyist Michael McLean didn't testify in his defense nor call witnesses. Co-defendants John Hooker and former ComEd CEO Ann Promajori both spent days on the stand, insisting they did not bribe Madigan. Dave McKinney.
Chicago Mayor-elect Brandon Johnson is urging state lawmakers to change how school districts are paid. Johnson addressed Illinois lawmakers in Springfield yesterday to start building relationships ahead of May's inauguration. In a speech before a joint session of the House and Senate, he said he wants a revision to the school funding formula so a nurse and social worker can be hired at every Chicago public school. He also wants to launch a trauma response network to address the effects of violence.
We will be able to offer a range of social services to students and families to help them process this trauma and heal, while also interrupting the cycle of violence.
Johnson also reiterated he wants to hire 200 more police detectives and expand mental health services for officers, but he won't say how much, if anything, the state needs to chip in for that. A new exhibit called Welcome to the Powwow opened this month at the Spurlock Museum at the University of Illinois. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes has more.
The exhibit features music, original paintings, and powwow regalia, all selected by Native American artists. Dylan Bijakins Jennings is a member of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Anishinaabe. He curated the exhibit.
There was a whole list of things, everything from, you know, our food systems to Lifeway and then to powwow. And powwow was one that I think really resonated with people because it's very much, you know, alive and, you know, powwows are everywhere.
Jennings hopes the exhibit will serve as a conversation starter as it highlights modern indigenous culture. It will be up for 5 years with new regalia displayed every year. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, suicide is the third leading cause of death for Black Americans ages 15 to 24. On Tuesday, counselors at Parkland College discussed the toll that racism takes on the mental and physical health of African Americans. Joe Omo Osagie is a counselor and psychology instructor. He's also a Black father who is concerned that when his sons leave his home, they'll be perceived as threats.
With my sons, I mean, if they're going out at night and they're wearing a hoodie, I think about it. And that affects my blood pressure.
The counselors say racism and lack of health care affect every aspect of Black health, regardless of economic status. If you or someone you know is struggling with mental health, you can call or text the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988. Still to come, we'll learn more about Midwest gardeners breaking bans on planting milkweed. That story is next on 217 Today.
In the third season of the Masterpiece Regency drama Sanditon, our heroine, Charlotte Haywood, returns to her resort town with a new fiancé in tow, but life gets a bit complicated when she meets up with an old flame. This hit drama is based on Jane Austen's last incomplete novel. The final season of Sanditon is full of more adventures, scandals, intrigue, and above all else, romance. You can stream every episode now as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. Monarch butterflies can't reproduce without milkweed. That fact has inspired a lot of Midwest gardeners to plant it. But as Celia Yopis Jepsen reports for Harvest Public Media, doing so can land them in trouble. because some cities don't allow the plant.
Oliver Hernandez is 12. He likes science class at school, and at home, he likes finding critters in his mom's butterfly garden here in Overland Park, Kansas, just outside Kansas City.
I mean, me and my friends also a lot of times just like come out here and just try to find a lot of bugs. It's kind of fun just knowing that there are lots of caterpillars in the yard.
He really likes monarch caterpillars with their bright yellow, white, and black stripes.
Also, whenever they get, whenever they become butterflies, they fly to Mexico. I think that's pretty cool.
In the summer, the caterpillars feast on the common milkweed in this garden. Well, used to. Last fall, a city code worker told his mom to get rid of the milkweed. The species is illegal here, with potential fines for violators. But why?
Yeah, that's what I don't understand either, why they had to cut it down.
Overland Park's ban conflicts with what surrounding Johnson County is doing. The county encourages homeowners to plant common milkweed and other native plants to absorb stormwater and support wildlife. Homeowners even get reimbursed for some of the cost. Mary Phillips, an expert at the National Wildlife Federation, knows all about milkweed bans.
So they have been historically very, very common.
Especially in farm regions, milkweed can make livestock sick if they eat enough of it.
The city codes, I think, then evolved, you know, to just keep that.
Indeed, Overland Park says it takes its cue from the Kansas Department of Agriculture. Except when I asked the state agency, it says it doesn't define milkweed as a noxious weed. In fact, the agency says milkweed is a good thing and that cattle usually steer clear of it. Phillips, though, has some national news that might make Oliver happy.
The real trend is that those bans are being reversed.
In 2017, the Illinois legislature even voted to ban the bans. But plenty of cities still warn homeowners against letting milkweed grow on their property, like St. Louis, Lamar, and Sunset Hills in Missouri, Huron and Redfield in South Dakota. Winfield, Kansas has common milkweed on a list of, quote, rank plants that harbor rats and insects, pose fire risks, or blight neighborhoods. This matters because the middle of the continent, Phillips says, is a key monarch migration route.
That entire flyway was so heavy with milkweed many, many, you know, years ago.
Now it's full of cropland sprayed with chemicals that kill milkweed. So butterfly gardens in people's yards can help. And that includes
common milkweed, which is extremely beneficial for monarchs.
This is the kind of milkweed that's most likely to be banned. It spreads not just through the seeds, but also underground runners. So keeping it in check does take more work than other milkweeds. Ginger Werp, 12-year-old Oliver's mom, thinks it's worth it to help wildlife.
They can't live off green manicured lawns and pine bushes year-round. And when you look around, that's all we see.
She's looking up and down her street at the other, more traditional front yards. Her yard has a little meadow full of native plants, maybe 7 by 12 feet. She loves it, but
I've had some uncomfortable conversations with neighbors about it.
She supposes a neighbor, maybe worried about property values, called the city last year hoping to make her cut down this patch. But when a city worker came to inspect her yard, he let her keep the garden and said he could only make her pull out one species, the contraband milkweed. Werp hopes Overland Park will drop its grudge against this species. In the meantime, she plans to keep as much of her mini prairie as she can.
I like the way this looks. I think it's pretty. I think it's fun. My son and I have a good time out here.
For Harvest Public Media, I'm Celia Yopis-Jepson.
This story was produced for the Kansas News Service and comes to Illinois Public Media through a partnership with Harvest Public Media. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be partly cloudy and breezy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high of 80 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Dave McKinney, Alex Degman, Emily Hayes, Reginald Hardwick, and Celia Yopis-Jepson. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.